Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I'm coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day from our friends at O'Reilly. Has anybody checked the president's Twitter this morning? Has he declared war on Australia for the theft of that fight last night? Okay, I don't know anything about it. I'm going to raise my hand. I am a novice at boxing scoring. But are you kidding? Manny Pacquiao won that fight. Manny Pacquiao won that fight. And somehow, the Australian judges give it to the Australian guy. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Seriously, that's a hometown, home cooking. I can't even get over it. Now, again, I'm a novice. So I like boxing. I enjoy a big match, but I'm not some expert on it. So I'm not acting like I'm just telling you, if Manny Pacquiao lost that fight, I don't even understand what the scoring system is. I don't understand what it's all about. I'm not sure, but I think Tim Dunaghy may have been one of the guest scores for the event because it was ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. Supposedly Manny Pacquiao. And Manny Pacquiao's like, seriously, he gets like a gun stuck into his ribs and gets something stolen from him. And he's like, yeah, okay, I respect that. I respect the judges, and I'll get a rematch, and yeah, thanks and everything. I'm like, are you kidding me? Show some anger. Show some outrage. Please, give me a little bit of emotion. So, I don't know if any of our boxing aficionados are up early, but I've just got to tell you, or up late if you're a West Coaster, you got to be kidding me. Manny Pacquiao won that fight. It's ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. Okay, we get started today on the John Kincaid Show, and I appreciate you getting up early with me because I know it's a holiday weekend, and we're heading into Independence Day, and everybody's all excited about, you know, getting out there and maybe heading to a barbecue or heading down the beach. I always say this, too, in that it used to be such a big deal when I grew up in the Northeast and lived in the Northeast. Like, you'd have Memorial Day weekend was the kickoff. And then 4th of July weekend was sort of like the end of the first quarter of summer. And then Labor Day weekend was the end of it all. So it always was just this huge deal, big, big deal. But when you live in Atlanta and you're into shorts by the end of March at the latest, you're wearing shorts at least at the end of March, you're wearing shorts at least 3-4 times. April, you're into shorts and game on, game on. It doesn't seem like as big a deal as far as the summer, but Independence Day does. And if you've got a flag, please fly it. Get a flag, fly it. We could all use a little red, white, and blue because I still believe every time I see the flags, every time I see the flags, every time I see a parade, every time I see somebody showing a little bit of reverence for what this great country was founded upon and how it was founded. A stroll down to the historic district in Philly where I'm from, where I grew up. I always feel like something is going to go off in people's heads and something's going to say, okay, we need a little more unity. You need a little more unity, a little less division, a little more unity. I'm thinking there still is potential for that, and maybe this 4th of July weekend, Independence Day, can bring that to everybody. And hopefully, I hope you have much joy and fun and everything else this weekend. You want to get in all day long, you want to be the co-host for the day and hang out with me, you can, at 855-212-4CBS with what we're talking about, at 855-212-4CBS. So, I still can't get over the Pacquiao fight. I still can't get over it. I don't understand it. He landed 15% of his punches. I don't even know if that's good or bad, but it didn't look good. Just drives me. Drives me crazy. When I can't understand something, when I think I've seen something and I think how it should turn out, and then it doesn't go out. I'm fascinated. I'm like, what's going on here? And does that not frustrate people who are fans of the sport? Does it not get them upset? Are they not a little pissed when the right guy doesn't win the fight because they think the wrong guy won? All right, we saw what happened this weekend. And I consider it really, really bad news for the NBA. I'm going to hear it. I'm sure I'm going to hear it spun by people, and I'm going to hear a lot of different theories. I think this is the absolute worst case scenario for the NBA. Is setting up at least one, if not a couple regular seasons, where everybody else in the NBA is just trying to throw rocks at Goliath. And I'm not seeing many people with the slingshot to even give him a bloody nose. Golden State Warriors rampaged through the West this year. Don't even lose a game in the Western Conference playoffs. The Western Conference playoffs are supposed to be, honestly, a back alley knife fight. They aren't supposed to be a stroll through the park. And honestly, of the 12 games that Golden State played to win the Western Conference championship, they had two that showed any kind of diciness in the first round. And maybe two the rest of the way where you're going, oh my gosh, they may not win this one. The Warriors are absolutely set up to dominate. And I hear all these people all the time. Well, back when the Lakers and the Celtics were like that, nobody cared. Ridiculous. It was absolutely and I've heard this comparison set up on this radio network. I've heard that set up on ESPN. And I've seen it in print. Well, nobody was complaining when the Lakers and the Celtics were dominating. Yes, moron. Because the Lakers and the Celtics were dominating for a while. And while the Lakers and the Celtics were in their period of getting ready to dominate, you would have the Sixers in the mix. Then you had the Bulls and the Pistons and all that. You had other teams in the mix. And by the way, they were good enough to win rings. Well, nobody ever cared when it was just the Celtics and the Lakers every year. People acting like the Celtics and the Lakers strolled. Memo, it wasn't 12-0. It wasn't sweeps of their conference playoffs. Celtics and the Sixers used to have bloodbaths. Sometimes the Celtics won, sometimes the Sixers won. The Lakers had the easier path. They always had that easier path. Western Conference always seemed like it was a bit of a stroll. No longer, folks. Yes, the best team in the NBA may be in the West. But I heard Paul Nanos bring this point up earlier, and I thought it was exactly what I was sort of muttering at my TV last night as I was looking at some of the numbers and trying to do a little prep for the show today. Who's left in the East? I'm telling you. Last person out of the Eastern Conference, please turn off the lights and turn up the air conditioning so the bill doesn't go up. It's ridiculous. You not only have a Western Conference that is set up for where you've got all of the stars, and I tried to do the same thing that Nanos did. I tried to find stack up star names. NBA players that really have star quality. And I think you could argue three of the top 16 or 17 players, maybe three of the top 16 or 17 play in the Eastern Conference. That's horrible. It's horrible. It's bad for the sport. It's bad. And no one will, I'm telling you right now, I want to hear from you this morning if you want to jump in at 855-212-4CBS. But you are not going to convince me that this is good for the business model. I am closed-minded on this. Absolutely closed-minded. Maybe you could sway me a little bit off my stance, but I'm saying this is not good for the NBA business model. It is not good to have one team be so far above the rest, and more importantly, one conference to be so far above the rest, where it is ridiculously lopsided. It's not good for the product. There are a lot of NBA arenas that play to, let's say, less than stellar crowds. The NBA truly benefits by the ticket sold number, not the turnstile number. And what motivation do you have east of the Mississippi now? What motivation do you have to be saying, hey, we got a shot. We can do something here. I might be a total hypocrite. I was telling the Atlanta Hawks fans on my local show on Buck and Kincaid in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. I was telling them, oh, you can't sign Paul Millsap. You can't. There's no reason to sign Paul Millsap. He's too old. Don't give him the big contract. No reason to do it. Now, the Eastern Conference looks like, seriously, it looks like the Southwest Atlanta YMCA. If you keep a guy like Paul Millsap, maybe you're talking about one of the six or seven biggest stars in the Eastern Conference. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. It doesn't make sense for the business model. And for the NBA, I can't see where this is a good thing moving forward. I just don't buy it. And then, honestly, one-year deals and two-year deals and rent-a-players and Paul George ending up in Oklahoma City, and this is a guy who wants to play in L.A. They've now sent him to the set of Green Acres. So he's going to – and you know what it's going to be is people going to be saying, hey, Paul George might be able to be talked into playing in Oklahoma City and staying there. Hey, great people in Oklahoma City. Great people. No. He's not going to get talked into staying in Oklahoma City. He's saying, what? Are you serious? What part of L.A. didn't you understand? I want lights. I want glamour. I want big city. I might want the beach. I want star power. I don't want Oklahoma City. I don't want mom, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.